very much. It's wonderful to be here with all of you. And Lieutenant Governor, thank you for those heartfelt and very principled remarks. And thank you all for stepping up and for being here on this issue. County Executive Ike Leggett, good to see you. And County Executive Rushern Baker, Chairman Frost, so many that are here, advocates, Senator Gladden, Delegate Rosenberg. It would seem to me that especially in tough times, if there's something that we're doing in our government, through our government, that is expensive and does not work, then we should stop doing it. The death penalty is expensive, and it does not work. And for that reason alone, I believe we should stop doing it.
All right.
So this week, once again, I will be filing legislation to repeal the death penalty in Maryland. And I wanted to share with you how I come to this issue, and I wanted to share with you my reasons for doing this once again. And I thank all of the delegates and senators, Lieutenant Governor, and county executives for being here and being supportive of this repeal of the death penalty in Maryland. Anyone who has ever looked into the eyes of a young boy or a girl or set to comfort a mom or dad whose life has been turned totally upside down by the loss of a child, by the violent taking of the life of a loved one, who has felt the despair of entire neighborhoods, indeed of entire cities, because of violence and the violent taking of life, the degradation of violence, the destruction of violence, the ripping apart of the fabric of life that others have sown for themselves and their families, understands that the most fundamental responsibility we have as a people is to safeguard the lives of people. To govern is to choose, and particularly in an era of limited budget resources, every dollar that we choose to spend on a policy that is wasteful and does not work, when instead we could be doing more of the things that do work to protect life, seems to me to run counter to the sort of pragmatic sort of do the things that work governance that is the hallmark of our state and what our people desire. The death penalty does not work in terms of preventing violent crime and the taking of human life. If you look over the last 15 years and looked at, or go back even further, 30, 40 years, the death penalty was on the books, and yet Baltimore became the most violent and addicted city in America. Having the death penalty on the book, even the people that were executed did nothing to keep the homicides from rising. Conversely, over these last several years, we've been doing the things that work. We've been making our police departments more effective. We've been deploying to where the crime is. We have been using DNA technology and DNA evidence to solve crimes as well as to exonerate those that were wrongly accused. We've been using technology, putting it in the hands of law enforcement. We've been solving cases, and as a result of doing the things that actually work, we've been able to drive violent crime down to three-decade lows. We've been able to save scores and scores of lives that otherwise would have been taken by rising homicide numbers. We know what works: investing in law enforcement, investing in data-driven policing, increasing the availability of drug treatment, performance measurement, strengthening partnerships between police and neighbors, investing in the latest crime-fighting technologies, DNA analyses. There are many, many things at work. Healing vulnerable families. These things work to reduce violent crime and save lives. The death penalty does not work. Good people on both sides of this issue have in the past disagreed about the effectiveness of the death penalty. I think there is increasingly less disagreement about its effectiveness, especially within our state. which comes down then, I wanted to shift to another topic, and that is the justice and the morality of the death penalty. Year after year, states which have a death penalty have actually had a higher murder rate than states which do not have the death penalty. That would seem to indicate to me that the death penalty, again, does not work as a deterrent. But other facts go to the sort of people we want to be and the justice of this particular aspect of crime and punishment. In 2008, the Maryland Commission on Capital Punishment, that was led by distinguished son of Maryland, former United States Attorney General Benjamin Civiletti, took a look at this issue with dedication, with fairness, with a lot of different perspectives around the table, and respect for the differences of opinion. They did very good work. They held hours of hearings and considered in a very open, transparent, and also compassionate way days of testimony from citizens who came at this from different varieties, different perspectives, rather, of loss, and quite frankly, a lot of personal pain. The commission found that for every 8.7 Americans sent to death row, there has been one innocent person exonerated. It was near unanimous in reporting that, quote, the administration of the death penalty clearly shows racial bias. It determined that no administrative fixes could end these disparities. And it found that the cost to taxpayers pursuing a capital case is three times as much as the cost of pursuing a non-death penalty homicide conviction where a person receives a life without parole. So, in conclusion, who do we choose to be? To govern is to choose. All of us have to ask ourselves, is it worth wasting taxpayer dollars on a policy that does not work? And perhaps there's another question, which is, who do we as a people aspire to be? Across our ever more closely linked world, the majority of executions now take place in five countries: Iran, North Korea, Communist China, Yemen, and the United States of America. On the other hand, 141 countries have chosen to abolish capital punishment. I won't read you that list, but as you might conclude, it is a much more growing and expansive community than the numbers who still use the death penalty. So who do we choose to be? In whose company do we choose to walk forward? We will make our society, we can either make, we will be a society guided by the notion that two wrongs somehow make a right, or we'll be a society that's guided by the fundamental civil and human rights that we understand from our founding are bestowed on all of humanity by God. A society guided by the dignity of every individual, a society that is always moving forward to the light. Today is the actual birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., who taught us that hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Hate multiplies hate, and violence multiplies violence. The choice is really ours. We know what works. We know what does not work. And we know that the way forward is always found through greater respect for the human dignity of all. Thanks very much.